John, how are you?
Good. How are you doing this morning, Tony?
John, I'm doing fine. Last night, my wife was balancing the checkbook, and she was complaining about it. And I said, well, how'd you like to be John Nixon and try to deal with the checkbook he has to deal with for the state of Michigan?
You know, it's almost the same thing, Tony, just a lot more numbers. I've got a few more staff that help me.
Tell me about the process of putting this budget together. How long did it take? How much of a part did you have in it? And tell me about the biggest challenges.
Oh, you know, the budget process really starts in about October. You know, September, October, we start formulating the priorities. We have a lot of meetings with the governor and his policy team. You know, there's hundreds of hours. It's a culmination of hundreds of hours. You know, and certainly that the operational aspect of it, I certainly oversee, and am part of the strategy team that sets the priorities. But certainly, when it comes to budget, it's Governor Snyder who really makes the final determination and decisions on what goes in and what doesn't go in.
Are people sitting down and making a case for their cause, and do you have a say on what could be done and what would be a challenge?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we get hundreds of requests. We obviously get a proposed budget or a budget request from the agencies. They present their needs, and certainly we get a lot of other suggestions on how we might be able to do the budget and spend money. And we go through those, we analyze them. I've got analysts that are trained, you know, experts in their respective fields, and they go through and work with the agencies, and we come up with a recommendation or we'll modify a request, and then certainly at the end balance all out, see what the most pressing hotspots or priorities are based upon the available funding we have.
Well, it seems like the folks who are most happy are those in public safety. The Michigan State Police and law enforcement agencies around the state are going to see more than $40 million coming through, so at least they'll be happy.
Absolutely. You know, Governor Snyder, if you look at the budget, Tony, that we recommended yesterday, it all ties back to the governor's top priorities. And, you know, in the state of the state, he talked about four of the most dangerous cities in America being right here in Michigan. That's not something to be proud of. That impacts our quality of life, our economic development, pretty much every aspect of what we do here. And so he was pretty committed to having a robust public safety recommendation, which we did, and it's needed. I mean, you know, we're down hundreds of troopers from where we were just a few years ago, and certainly it's important to make sure that we are maintaining order in our cities and towns and on our streets.
When talking about a surplus or additional funding for education, we had Karen Holcomb-Merrill from the Michigan League for Human Services on this morning, and she said even though there's a little bump for education, she believes that there should be more money put into there, especially since you do have that surplus. And when talking about putting in a rainy day fund, I believe she told me that it is raining and it is pouring, and we've got to get more money in education and save less. How would you respond to that?
You know, I think it's a balancing act, Tony. I mean, obviously, for the last 10 years, we've had, you know, we haven't had made a deposit in the Budget Stabilization Fund since 2004. And what happens, the rainy day fund really is set up to help in years where you're running a deficit or running a shortfall. And certainly, if you don't have that to go to, then you have to cut the budgets. And so, it's important to build that back up. I mean, there's still a lot of uncertainties out there. We have a federal government who's got its own budget problems, and, you know, keep in mind 40% of our state budget comes from the federal government. You know, if something happens there that, you know, they can't get us the money, or if we have another hiccup in the economy, certainly the stabilization fund is what's critical. I mean, certainly, if we don't save now, then it puts us in crisis management again, and that's what we're trying to avoid. You know, over half of the new money that we had went to education. You know, and so it certainly was a priority in our budget. We wanted to make sure they had more this year than we gave them last year. But again, last year was about setting the table, right-sizing the budget, making sure that we were out of crisis management. We did that. This year, the good news is we had some revenue growth, so we're able to make strategic investments back into the system.
Is it frustrating that you're giving more money to more areas of the budget, but people are still complaining?
No. I mean, everybody has their own personal advocacy. I mean, you know, education is a priority. I mean, would we have liked to give more to various areas? Absolutely. But, you know, the good news is, like I said, is we had, you know, over $600 million in new base money to put into the system, plus, you know, several hundred million of one-time money. It was a significant investment. And the good news is the economy's starting to, you know, start to grip, and we're starting to add jobs, and we're starting to see revenue growth. And certainly now's the time to keep the system predictable and stable so we can move forward. So, no, and it doesn't, it's part of the process. I mean, you know, it's part, and it doesn't bother me at all. Everybody's going to complain about certain pieces of the budget. We feel that we struck the right balance that we can certainly defend for the future of Michigan, but there are others who have differing opinions, and we're ready to have that discussion.
How are local governments going to get their funding, and will they get increases?
Absolutely, yeah. And the constitutional piece that goes to cities, villages, and towns, that increased by about $14 million or 2%. And that was just obviously because of the increase in revenues, which is good news for them as well. But we also increased the statutory component by over 9%, and that really came in two areas. There were counties that came back onto the system. You know, they had a deal struck with them a few years ago that if they would accelerate their property taxes, then, you know, once they spent through that money, you know, they could come back onto the county revenue sharing program. So there was an increase there, and then we have consolidation grants that, you know, we put $5 million in the budget last year that basically allows local municipalities to come together and consolidate their resources. You know, there were three counties that were processing independent tax returns, and I said if we coordinate and do it together, we can save money. So we had $5 million worth of grant opportunity there. We got $23 million worth of requests. So we actually increased that pot to $25 million this year, because these are, again, are upfront costs that will generate long-term savings.
We're talking with John Nixon, who is the state budget director. Are we doing a George Bush in this state with no new taxes for 12-13?
That's correct. We didn't recommend any tax increases in 12 or 13. Certainly, again, that goes back to the whole the predictable and stable climate that we want. You know, and we just did a huge tax revision this past year. People have confidence in the predictability of it now, and we're adding jobs, and certainly we didn't want to raise any money to help, you know, fund the budget.
You are going to make state workers happy by canceling 4 unpaid furlough days.
Absolutely. You know, we have a great state workforce, and they've been through a lot over the last 10 years, and really, you know, what we're trying to do here, and I know a lot of people feel, you know, as we start to balance the budget, they start feeling like we're coming after them. But, you know, you think about what we're doing, Tony, here is we're actually trying to provide a stable environment, not just for the external people that we serve in state government, but also for our internal employees. You know, having a structurally balanced budget provides stability for them as well. So it is true that we had the surplus. We were able to cancel those 4 furlough days, which certainly is going to be beneficial to not only employees, but the state and the people we serve.
What has been set aside to fix roads and bridges?
In our road program is about $3.3 billion in total at this point. We know that we're deficient by about $1.4 billion just to keep things in the current condition. We lose about $3 million a day in the deterioration of our roads. The amount of money that we don't traditionally put general fund into roads, but we did put $119 million in this year one time to make sure that we draw down all of our federal matching dollars. And certainly we did that to give the legislature some time and the public at large to be able to have a debate and a discussion on how we ought to take care of our roads in the future, because, you know, we know that, again, that all ties back to economic development. If we can't move people, if we can't move goods, you know, across our highways and our roads, that certainly would impede our economic reinvention and innovation.
Money has been set aside for autism coverage in the Medicaid and My Child programs?
Absolutely, yeah. That's another key component of the safety net programs. We know that there are those who are out there who are struggling still. We tried to keep the whole healthcare budget stabilized with provider rates and such. And we did have a couple of new programs, and their autism being one of them. Certainly, it's a very costly over the long run if it's not treated. I mean, these are proven treatments that they have that they can intervene with at a young age. And right now, they're very, very costly. But again, it's a prevention measure where if we provide the coverage up front, then it'll save us the long-term cost. You know, over the life of the individual, we're talking about $3.7 million, you know, versus a much less cost treatment if we can intervene early in their lives.
How is it decided how education gets its money? How do you decide how much to give Wayne or Michigan State or Michigan?
The higher education communities, we actually came up with a new funding formula, and basically it's on outcomes. We want to make sure that at the end of the day, we're getting degree completions, people graduating. You know, higher education is also very key to the long-term, you know, success of Michigan. You know, we have a very well-qualified and educated workforce, but we want to get them through quicker. We know the quicker we get the individuals through, you know, the less money it saves them in loans and the less money it saves us as taxpayers. And so certainly we're tying an increase of funding. Again, we didn't go into the base. We kept their base budgets whole going into 13. But we did recommend a 3% increase tied to outcomes, you know, increase in degree completions, the completions in the critical fields, science, technology, math, as well as the number of Pell Grant recipients they receive, and then there was that they graduate, and then there's also a piece in there for tuition restraint. You know, we want to make sure we keep the costs affordable for our people here in Michigan.
All right, finally, last question, and it's about education. I couldn't find the details about funding for pre-K. What is that?
The pre-K funding, actually, the governor, we're putting $12.5 million into the budget for kindergarten assessments. You know, we're all about measurement and not, you know, because we want a reward based upon growth in the system. And so one of the things that we don't know is we don't have an accurate assessment for the kindergartners who are coming into the system. And so we put $12.5 million into that. The governor created the Office of Great Start this past year that really consolidated all of the pre-K funding and programs throughout the state. And this was just an enhancement. And that really, the reason why you couldn't find any information on it is because that's part of the supplemental bill that we recommended yesterday. It really wasn't part of the 13 recommendation that we were formally presenting.
Well, John, we appreciate you. I know you're busy, and time is a very a very hard thing to find. But thanks for spending time with us this morning. We appreciate you.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you, Tony. You're